This podcast is brought to you by Audible.com, the internet's leading provider of audiobooks with more than 150,000 downloadable titles across all types of literature, including fiction, nonfiction, and periodicals. For a free audiobook of your choice, go to audiblepodcast.com/bookhype. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Book Hype. I'm Jen, and tonight I'm joined by Brittany and Karen. Hey, guys.
Hi.
Hello.
How are you ladies doing tonight?
Cold.
I know. I was going to say, Karen, what New York do you live in again? You're not the part that just got 3 feet of snow, right?
Oh, my gosh, no. Okay. There's actually, like, just a little bit of residual snow on the ground, but it is quite chilly outside.
Yeah, it's pretty cold here, too. It's definitely been lots of heat and blankets kind of week here. All right, so ladies, tell me, what have you been reading? And Karen, I'm a little excited by your list. There's a lot of books on that list.
There is. Would you like me to go first?
I think I do want you to go first.
Okay. Yeah, I read 4 books since the last time I was on. I'm always excited when I it's more than just one. But some people have been asking me this. Yes, I did finally finish Hit by Lorianne Grover. Took me a little while because I had to set it aside. But that was the one about the girl who got into a car crash. And she had a crush on her teacher, and her teacher was the one that ended up hitting her. And it was about basically her time in the hospital. And basically, like I said before, it was written really well, and it was really interesting to see it from both perspectives of the teacher and the girl, especially since we see it from the girl's point of view as she's coming in and out of consciousness, as she's going through surgery and all this other things. The ending was a little anticlimactic, but also realistic and not one of those, oh, la, 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 you know, everything's happy sort of things. So I think it'll really resonate with some people, especially people who have been in an accident or know people have been in an accident. I feel like it's very realistic because it was based on a true story. So that was kind of interesting. The other ones I've been reading was Find Me, I'm Yours by Hilary Carlip, which is the transmedia book that I talked about last time. Kind of bummed Marima isn't here because I told her that I thought she would like the concept, although maybe not the execution, just because it is a love story and that's sort of not really her thing. The actual book was pretty good, but I think the fact that you could interact with all of the media in the book was really cool. You can watch videos, you can take polls, there are pictures in the book. Definitely, they're calling it Clicklit. It's something that I think might end up taking off and being really cool, really interesting and different way to read books. And then the next one I read was The Land of Stories, The Enchantress Returns by Chris Colfer. I actually listened to that on Audible because Chris Colfer is the one that reads them, and he's got a million voices that he does for these books, and it's really good. This one got quite a bit darker than the first one, and I was a little surprised by that. The ending was really sad, but I'm looking forward to the next one. It's out already, so I'm going to need to listen to that soon. And then the final one I read was Freak of Nature by Julia Crane, which is about this girl who is basically a cyborg. And they think that they've wiped all of her emotions and all of her memories, and she's basically just a robot now. But she's not. She's been hiding from them that she does actually have emotions. And it's about her trying to deal with that and, you know, deciding, does she want to escape? You know, does she have real feelings for this boy that works in the lab? And I think the execution was a little so-so. The concept is really cool. I think I'm going to read the next one just because I'm really interested to see where they go from there, because I read the description for the next book, and it seems like they're going in a totally different direction. I don't even know if that many of the same characters are going to be in it, so I'll be interested to see what happens to her.
Cool. All right, Miss Brittany, what have you been reading?
So I got on a little bit of a memoir kick, but like a funny memoir kick. So the first one I'll talk about is Yes, Please by Amy Poehler. I have been really, really excited for this to come out because I saw her chat with Martin Short at BEA this year.
So did I.
Yeah, and it was amazing, and I love her. But it was okay. I think I wanted it to be just like, you know, hang out with Amy time, but I don't know. It wasn't.
Was it a little more serious than what you wanted?
Absolutely. Not that it was bad. It was interesting to like get her writing style and kind of hear what she wanted to talk about. Cause I really wanted it to be more about her comedy, but there wasn't that much of it, you know, like not funny comedy, but like her start in comedy and like, you know, UCB and SNL. But anyway, it was good. I mean, it's awful to read about like her divorce. It wasn't too in detail, but it was still like, oof. I was like, okay.
That part, because she kind of made comments about that at the panel, I remember, and I'm being like, there's nothing really funny about divorce. Like, I'm not really sure how that's going to work, but okay. Yeah,
but it was still like a, all right, I'm going to go take over the world type of book, because she's Amy Poehler.
Yeah.
And then perhaps one of the best books I've read in a really long time is Food, A Love Story by Jim Gaffigan. And if you've ever seen his stand-up, it's basically like watching his stand-up, and it's like you have to read it alone. Don't read it in public. It's hilarious. I love Jim Gaffigan, so it was sort of like watching his comedy. And I didn't think that that would transfer to just reading it because he has such a great delivery. Mm-hmm. But if you are familiar with him, it's like he's in your head reading it to you, and it's fantastic. It's all about like his relationship with food, and there's a chapter about like steak and how his dad would make steak all the time, but he would like his delivery is fantastic. And there's a chapter about how vegetables are just like colorful decorations at the party. Like,
I've actually seen some of his stand-up, and whenever he talks about food, it really resonates with me, so maybe I'll go find this.
Yeah, I didn't read his he wrote a book before this about more about like his life and his family and being a dad, and I'm sure that that's equally hilarious, but the food one really drew me in because his comedy about food is excellent.
That's really awesome. I like that. That's super fun. All right. I didn't read anything nearly as exciting as Jim Gaffigan talking about food. That's for sure. So I'm not sure if I talked about Maggie Stiefvater's latest book, Blue Lily, Lily Blue, yet. But it's the third book in the Raven cycle, and I'm kind of in love with it. I love the Raven cycle. I think I've talked about this like a bajillion times. I love what she's done with her writing, how different it is from all of her other stuff. It's very different from the Wolves of Mercy Falls series, and I think that's what it's called. It's the Shiver series. Very, very different from that. These characters are just, like, phenomenal. I love it. And it's so good. And it ends in kind of a way you're like, oh my god, what just happened? Because even though the main storylines, like, wrap up, there's, like, you know how, like, when you're watching a TV show and you think you've hit the main credits, but there's that one little scene that, like, leads into next week's episode, and you're like, what? It's kind of like it ends like that. And I'm just like, oh, my God. So I'm really excited about the next book. And this book was fantastic. Another book I read was called I Remember You by Kathleen Davitt Bell. This book was really interesting. The premise is that there are these two characters, a male and a female. And the male remembers the female, but she doesn't remember him. And there's a reason for that. It's because they technically haven't, like, met yet, even though they're in school together. And the boy remembers, like, he's basically kind of an older man who's traveled back into his younger body. Does that make sense? I don't know if I'm explaining this right. It's kind of complicated. And then, so he knows everything that their relationship becomes. Well, she doesn't know any of it. So she starts a relationship with this boy, Lucas, and really the soul that's in him is the older guy who's experienced all of this.
So is it like 17 again?
A little bit, but like not comical in any way, shape, or form.
Okay.
I was thinking the time traveler's wife was...
It's so hard to explain. Like, but the part that was really hard was that it was set in like the early to mid 90s. And like there were things that I didn't think were right because I grew up in the early to mid 90s. And like they referenced Doctor Who. And I'm like, I'm not really sure. Like what they'd be, and the way they referenced it, it was like Doctor, the abbreviation Who. And I'm like, what's going on? Oh, no. I don't understand. Like, and then, and that was, I mean, that's really nitpicky. I mean, don't, but there were other things like basically the soul of the guy had, was coming from like, he was in war in Afghanistan and stuff. And for me, like that sort of thing is just, sometimes it's hard to read about it depending on the context it's in. And in this context, I didn't feel like it was necessary. Like, he could have been from anywhere. So why are we picking that? And, like, I don't know. I didn't really like it. Which is, I don't usually say that very often. So it was just really hard to wrap my head around. And it just, I don't know. I didn't really care for it. But if you guys read it or check it out, and you like it, definitely tell me why. Because, I mean, there could be something I'm missing, which it's happened before. But there was just, I read the whole thing, but there was just something about it that didn't just kind of jive for me. And then the third book I read was Autumn Falls by actress Bella Thorne. And it's going to be a series. She's written this book and has included, like, personal aspects of her life into it. I definitely think it's like a tween book. So anyone who watches Bella Thorne, I think she's on like the Disney Channel, would definitely be down for this book. That's where I'm going to leave that one. So that's what I read this week. I've been super busy with school and stuff, so I have not had a lot of time to read anything other than B.F. Skinner, which I will not bore any of you with. So, something exciting to move on from what we've been reading is the three of us and Marima and Kristen were all in New York City last weekend, which was pretty cool. And for the first time ever, Karen got to go to the Strand Bookshop. So, Karen, yes. You want to talk about that a little bit? Because we had to maybe rein her in a little bit. There were a lot of books in her hands. A lot. I was a little concerned for Karen.
Did you guys know that I went back?
You know.
I did see your tweet that you bought more books.
Oh, no.
It was so... Okay, so this is what happened. Yeah, we went to the Strand, and it was amazing. For you guys that don't know what the Strand is, it's just this giant bookstore, and their books are really cheap for various reasons. I think some of them are used, but most of them are new. And
there's 18 miles of books in the Strand.
There's like four floors, and they've got everything, not just fiction. They've got nonfiction. I mean, anything you can imagine, it's there. And a lot of them are like discontinued covers and stuff like that. So that's why they're so cheap. And so basically for us, it's like Wonderland. And it was so amazing.
Yes, it is.
And I ended up picking up four books. And then Danya, one of the other Hypeable staff members, she came in later, and I was like, oh, you've never been here? Let's go. And let me tell you, I navigated the subway system myself to get us.
I am so proud of you.
I was trying to pay attention all weekend so I could, you know, do that sort of thing. And I did it without us getting lost. So that was cool.
Well, and Jen and I made you get off at the wrong stop the first time. So it's
okay. Yeah, we were to the super stilts. It's fine. We needed an extra walk. We had way too much, like, brunch that morning.
Yes. And so we went back there, and I ended up buying four more books. So I came home
with eight books.
And you know what? I don't feel guilty. I have no regrets because they're all books that I wanted, and they're all priced really, really well. So, and then I came home to like three books waiting on the table for me, like arcs I was set and stuff. So I have a lot of new books to read.
Yes, that's pretty exciting. I came home today to basically an envelope bag of six books that come out in March. I'm like, oh my gosh. So, you know.
Life is so hard, isn't it?
Oh my God, it is. I have so much to do. Anyway, enough about me. But we had a really good time in New York. We went around and did a whole bunch of things and got to see Karen and Kristen. It was her first time at the Strand too. So they were like kids in a candy shop. And then Marima was like, I need to have my own space. And she walked in the door and like walked away from all of us.
So 30 seconds, and we were like, where did she go?
Yeah, and then we, like, luckily found her at the very end, because she was,
well, we were trying to make a plan, too. We all of us were together, and we're like, okay, we'll meet back at this point in 45 minutes, and yeah. Where's Marima?
Yeah, and I was like, nope, she had her own plan in mind. It was really kind of funny. But we have pictures of us actually all together, which we never do, because we always forget, so yeah. That was kind of good. You may have seen them on Twitter. So yeah, so it was a really good time, and I really love the Strand, and I try not to go there too often because I always come home with books, and it's never good because I don't really need any more books at the moment. But yeah, there's that. So we'll see. All right, so you guys, just so you know, our upcoming book club book, I should say, is going to be Jacoby, and I have to see, it's by William Ritter. And we are going to do that in a couple of weeks, I think. So get Jacoby. Jacoby is this ridiculously, like, kind of like Sherlock Holmes meets Doctor Who mashup. So for all you, like, Wholoch fans out there, this is definitely a book that's kind of got everything you could want in it, which is really, really fun. So luckily for you guys, if you're interested in getting it, it's also available on audible.com. I checked it out. The person who does the voice on Audible is really, really good. It's a British person, which, I don't know, I find that makes reading way more, like, enjoyable. I don't know about you guys, oh, yeah. But definitely. I love it. So Jacoby by William Ritter will be our next book. You could get it from audible.com, and you can try out their free service at audible.com/bookhype. That's audible.com/bookhype. So don't forget in a couple weeks to get Jacoby, because I'm super excited to talk to everyone about that. Love it. All right, so now on to the news portion, or semi-news portion, of this episode. We're going to talk a little bit about the YALSA, say that five times fast, Teen Top 10 Book Picks, because that all that stuff was just released a couple days ago, and there's some really cool stuff on here. So there's basically every year the American Library Association, or the Young Adult Library Services Association, I should say, does this thing with teens where the teens vote on the top 10 books for the 2013-2014 season, essentially. And so for the year ending 2014, they've chosen the top 10 list. And so basically teams nominate and choose their favorite books from the previous year. And then the nominations are members of teen book groups in 16 schools and public school libraries around the country. So basically it's to celebrate Teen Literature Day, which is kind of fun, and Teen Reads Week, which is also really fun. And so this year, the winners for the teen's top 10 picks, wow, that's a really tricky name, the first is Eleanor Park by Rainbow Rowell. Splintered by A.G. Howard, The Rhythmatist by Brandon Sanderson, The Fifth Wave by Rick Yancey, Monument 14 Sky on Fire by Emmy Layburn, Earth Girl by Janet Edwards, The Testing by Joelle Chabaneau, Steelheart by Brandon Sanderson, Siege and Storm by Leigh Bardugo, and The Eye of Minds by James Dashner. And there are a couple other lists, too, that are picked by different people, and we'll talk about those in a few minutes. But let's talk about this first list. So, Karen, do you want to start with maybe a book that you love off this list?
Yeah, so big surprise. I'm going to pick Steelheart by Brandon Sanderson. I think that's an excellent choice because it's sci-fi fantasy. It's kind of like X-Men. And I felt like it had a really unique voice and a really unique sort of backstory and setting to this entire story. It takes place in a city made of steel. And for me, that was just, I don't know, really, really interesting to see how people lived that way. And the story itself is really funny and very action-packed. And the ending has a really, I wouldn't call it a twist, but the resolution to it, I thought was really cool and definitely makes me super excited for the sequel, which will be coming out next month. Finally, I can't wait.
Awesome. Brittany, how about you?
So I'll avoid the obvious and go for my second favorite on here, which is The Fifth Wave by Rick Yancey. I was very, very hesitant to pick it up because the entire marketing campaign was like, the next Hunger Games, everyone should read about this dystopian, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, ugh, God, all right. But I picked it up anyway, and I really liked it. It reminded me of Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants a little bit, only because it's told from so many different people's perspectives. So the chapters kind of switch, and it's not as easy to navigate a sisterhood because you don't really know who's speaking right away. But it's kind of cool because you kind of pick up on who the characters are and you know who's speaking. And some of them, like the zombie storyline, is so disturbing at parts that even when you're done reading his chapters, you kind of want to flip ahead and keep reading the one characters at a time. So I really enjoyed that. It kind of kept the book really fast paced for me. And this, I mean, the idea of it was kind of the wave that comes, and they're about to enter the fifth wave. So the first wave is like, it's this whole apocalyptic mess that's happening to Earth. And I thought the main character was okay. There are those sappy love lines that carry it along. Like, I didn't know that I could be this type of person until I met you moments. So you're like, oh, okay. once you're that far into the book, you're like, yes, okay, it's time for that. But yeah, that was good. And I don't know. I probably won't see a movie version of it just because it's
not your thing.
No, I mean, especially with Mockingjay coming out this week, I'm like, that kind of marketing overkill is wearing thin on me.
Yeah, I get it. Got it. Love it. All right. So clearly the obvious choice, I think, for all of us would be Eleanor and Park to talk about. But I think we've talked about that like extensively because we had like a whole book review show on. No, we didn't. We had Fangirl. But anyway, I know we've talked about it a bajillion times. So we're not ignoring Eleanor and Park. We've talked it to death. So we know.
Plus, I can't believe when you said within the last year, I just feel like Eleanor and Park came out so long ago.
It feels
ago
that way, doesn't it?
Because Rainbow Rowell is like a writing machine.
She's so prolific. It's insane.
Yeah.
Insane. All right. So my choice is going to be Splintered by A.G. Howard. I don't know if you guys have heard of this yet or if you've read it, but it is this really dark, creepy, like fantastic version of Alice in Wonderland, where the main character Alyssa is actually a descendant from Alice Liddell, and she can hear the talk of the bugs and the flowers and stuff. So basically they feel like it's an affliction or a curse, and that her mother's mental health is really bad, and she's inherited it as well, when in reality it's just she can hear the underland. So she goes down into Wonderland, and this Wonderland is like twisted and crazy. And if you guys have ever seen the cover, it's like this girl with this big, crazy kind of hair and all these things growing around her. And it's super cool. Like, it's really a fun read, and I'm really glad it made the list because I think more people should be checking it out and reading it. And it's part of a series, and there's the second book is called Unhinged. And then there's a book three, which is called Ensnared. So they're really, really cool. And they all have these really cool covers. And the book two's cover looks like the Mad Hatter's on the front of it. Like, it's awesome. It's really cool. So I would just say definitely check that out. And looking at the next list, because I said there were multiple lists. So we also have the 2014 Top 10 Best Young Adult Fiction. This is chosen by a committee of librarians and teachers, if I remember correctly. So this list is a little bit different. It has some middle grade novels on it, as well as some YA novels on it. And it starts with Julie Berry, All the Truth That's in Me, Kristen Elizabeth Clark, Freak Boy, Tim Federle, Better Nate Than Ever, Tom McNeil's Far, Far Away. Eleanor and Park is also on this list. Marcus Sedgwick's Midwinter Blood. Ruta Sepetys is Out of the Easy. Andrew Smith Winger. Tara Sullivan Golden Boy. And Elizabeth Wen Rose Under Fire. And I think a lot of these, like I know Rose Under Fire, Golden Boy, I think Winger, Out of the Easy, those are Eleanor and Park, are all much more reality-based books. More like Some of them are based in historical times and stuff, but they're a little more reality-based and a little edgier in a sense. So I think that's really interesting to see the difference in what the two lists are between what the teens choose and what the adults choose for the teens.
Yeah, and I thought it was interesting to see Better Nate Than Ever on this list because I remember reading a lot about the book. I didn't actually read it, but it is targeted for like a younger than teen audience.
Yeah, it is a slightly younger than teen audience, but honestly, it is a great book. I really like that book. It's a lot of fun. It's well written, and it's just, it's sweet and endearing, and it has a message, but it doesn't clobber you over the head with the message. So I think that's really good, because oftentimes you'll have books, because basically it's about a boy kind of coming into his own and being honest about being gay, and it's got some theater stuff in it, and it's just a lot of fun, but it's well written, and it has its story to tell, and I think that it can be really helpful to maybe some kids who are kind of like, they don't know where they fit. It might help them a little bit. And so I like it. But again, I agree that it is, like, I know at our library, we shelved it in like the middle grade readers. So I don't know, but I like it. It's a good book. Have you guys read anything on the list?
I haven't, but I just double checked while you were reading them. And Winger was one that I've considered picking up quite a few times just because it is like you were saying, like sort of like a realistic YA like type of book about boarding school, which is right up my alley for a quick read.
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, Eleanor and Park, obviously. Other than that, nothing. But I did read another book by Andrew Smith. That was Grasshopper Jungle, which was super weird.
Oh, you know, I didn't even make that connection.
Yeah, yeah. Winger is like, I want to say it's one of his better known ones and something that I've been looking into buying as well and reading because I want to see if all of his books have the same style or if they're all as weird as Grasshopper Jungle was. Because
yeah,
that
Grasshopper
book,
Jungle was weird.
That was messed up.
Yeah, that was a unique book. But you liked it, didn't you, Karen? I remember giving it to you to read.
Yeah, yeah. Merrimut and I read it as well, and we're like, we need to see this movie. Like, it's never going to get made, but we really want it to be one of those, like, B-horror movies, kind of like Tremors, that's, like, so bad you love it, and it has a cult following, because I think it could do really well that way.
That would be pretty cool. All the Truth That's In Me by Julie Berry is actually really good, too. I really like that book. So that's another one that I've definitely read. There's a couple on here. I know Midwinter Blood is supposed to be amazing. I just haven't read it yet. And Ruta Sepetys writes amazing realistic fiction. And this one is super interesting because I remember her talking about it. It's set in New Orleans, and it's about like a teenage prostitute in New Orleans. So that's kind of intense, but she's fantastic at handling really difficult material. So I'd be interested in to see what that's all about. And then we have, because they love a good list here at the Young Adult Book Services, we have the 2014 Top 10 for Reluctant Readers. Now, this list is, I just took the top 10. Some of these lists are expanded, by the way. So if you check out the YALSA's website, you can see the full list because I think there's about 25 total. So there's the top 10 list and then there's honorees as well. So check those out. But the top 10 reluctant readers list. So these are for people who normally don't necessarily like to read, but you can kind of hook them in with them. So there's the Star Wars Jedi Academy, Killer of Enemies, which is about an Apache hunter and who is blackmailed into killing genetically modified monsters. I could see how that would be appealing to reluctant readers. The Testing by Joelle Chabanneau. 100 Questions You Never Asked Your Parents, Straight Answers to Teens, Questions About Sex, Sexuality, and Health. I'm not sure how that's a reluctant reader book, but okay. Proxy by Alex London, Vietnam 4, Casualties of War by Chris Lynch. Is it Yaki Delgado Wants to Kick Your Ass by Medina. How to Speak Dog, A Guide to Decoding Dog Language. It's a National Geographic book, which I think is super fun. Nothing Can Possibly Go Wrong by Prudence Shen and Boy Nobody by Alan Zadoff. So have you guys read or heard of any of those books? I know you've read The Testing, Karen.
Yeah, that one, I'm kind of surprised it's on there. I mean, not hugely surprised because it is a really action-packed book and it definitely has Hunger Games vibes to it. I found the second and especially the third book about 100 times better than the first one. So I would say, you know, people who maybe are reluctant readers happen to pick up that one are like, I don't know about this. I'm kind of into it, but maybe not. Keep going because the series gets a lot better and it asks a lot of big, important questions, very difficult questions. And I think, you know, for somebody who might be bored with your run-of-the-mill book, that might resonate with them.
Awesome. Brittany, have you read anything on the list?
I haven't, but I do have Proxy and Guardian by Alex London because he was at BEA and it was an awkward time, so I had time to kill, so I got both of them because they were giving them out. But I have read that Proxy is sort of like compared to The Whipping Boy, and I really loved The Whipping Boy in like grammar school. So I might check out both of them.
Proxy is pretty cool, actually. I really like what he did with that story, so definitely check it out. And the other one is Boy Nobody by Alan Zadoff is really, really cool as well. And I can definitely see how that would be for a reluctant reader. It's super action-packed and just spy games and, you know, all kinds of fun stuff like that. So very
and
fun.
I wanted to say, too, that Nothing Can Possibly Go Wrong by Prudence Shen, that's actually a graphic novel. So, you know, I mean, I kind of find it hard to believe that anybody listening to Book Hype would be a reluctant reader. But if you know anybody who's a reluctant reader, maybe try that one because it's a graphic novel.
Yes, that would be really cool, actually. I know my nephew who does not like to read because he has pretty severe ADHD, so getting him to sit and do anything is, like, painful. But he loves to read, like, the Amulet graphic novels and stuff like that. Those work out really well for him, so definitely try that. All right, so moving right along, we have some new book deal news, which is kind of interesting. The first one is a book deal that Kat Howard landed. She is supposedly the protege of Neil Gaiman. So right then and there, that kind of piqued my interest when I read that. I was like, oh, really? Mm-hmm. So this is her first book deal, and it's called Roses and Rot. And the story is reminiscent of Donna Tartt's The Secret Society, or The Secret History, excuse me. And the novel follows a woman, after being given the chance to attend a prestigious artist's retreat with her sister, is faced with the struggle of what to sacrifice for success and family in order to escape her past. So, not a very big description there. I would like a little more. But I think that'll be really interesting. I mean, if you're being labeled as the protege to Neil Gaiman, you better bring it.
That's
well,
huge.
That and combined with that it's reminiscent of The Secret History, which is, I wrote about in my top five influential books for Hypeable, is one of my favorite books of all time. So
what is The Secret History about? Give us some backstory.
Okay, so The Secret History is about this group of classic students at like a prestigious New England college, and there's a murder, and it's very... The way I describe it is it's very reminiscent of How to Get Away with Murder, except they're in a classics society. So they're studying like Greek and they go into the woods and they all get like really drunk. And there's like this really like spiritual thing that happens at like a Bacchanal ceremony type thing. And it's like really, really good. It's so well written. And I loved everything
so
about
cool.
it.
That's
so mysterious.
Really cool. I kind of like that. All right. Well, so anyway, so she's got like this double whammy of weight on her. So we'll see what happens. That's probably not set to come out until about 2016. So we have a while. The next one is Louis Bayard. He writes adult novels. So one of his novels is The Pale Blue Eye. So he sold his first debut YA novel, and it's called The Gas Station Pagans. And it's set in 1934 and follows an orphan girl who, in an attempt to keep her siblings together, convinces a man to impersonate her father. And the move brings both good and bad consequences. So, you know, sounds interesting, but I'm not sure if it's my kind of read.
It was very kind of a bland description.
I know.
I always want more when we read these things. Like, I don't know.
I know. I get it. I do. So, but anyway, it's not, I mean, for people who like more realistic fiction, I think that'll probably be an interesting read for them. I'm just not always that girl. All right. And the last one is Sarah Fine, who wrote, she's written a ton of stuff, but most recently she wrote Of Metal and Wishes, which was this really cool Phantom of the Opera-esque novel set in China in a slaughterhouse. I know that's the oddest description ever, but it's really cool. Check it out. So she sold two YA fantasy novels. The first, which is currently untitled, is about a 16-year-old girl, or a 16-year-old who has been training her whole life to become queen and finds out when coronation day arrives, she has not inherited the magical powers of her predecessors. So she's cast out and powerless into a world of outlaws who want to overtake the kingdom, and her only redemption is to search for the person who did inherit the former queen's magic. So that sounds kind of fun and action-packed. Kind of like that description a lot.
Yeah, that one sounds really interesting.
So it'll be interesting to see. So again, these probably won't come out until about 2016 sometime. But again, all really interesting, something to keep your eye on. The other thing I forgot to mention is Sophie Kinsella, I think that's how you say her name, she writes mostly adult novels. She's also writing a YA novel that will be out in late 2015, maybe. But that's, again, if you guys like her adult stuff, it might be something to check out, her YA stuff. All right, so let's get to some feedback from our lovely listeners. So this is DL Skin. It says, I know there were mixed reactions to The One by Kira Cass a few months ago. I was just wondering how you all felt about the trilogy adding two additional books. I don't want to spoil anyone, but about what they are about, but the fourth is due out in May. I just finished the first three books and really enjoyed them, but felt the final book was missing something. I'm hoping that the next two will do the trick. I just wanted to hear someone else's reactions. I know Marima's read all of these books. Has anyone else read these books?
I haven't, no.
I haven't either.
I mean, I've read some of them. I think they're interesting. They're not necessarily my kind of book. I don't read a ton of the dystopian stuff. I know what the fourth book is about, and I think that story will be actually really interesting. And again, I didn't want to spoil either, so I didn't want to go into it. But when Marima comes on next week, we will definitely ask her about that and get her opinion on that for you.
Is this something that was supposed to be a trilogy and then decided?
Yes, and then okay. it expanded, yeah.
Okay. See, I always feel kind of weird about that because I'm like, and I mean, if this person says the last book was missing something, maybe that's a good thing that there's going to be more books rather than just ending it there. But when it's supposed to be a trilogy and somebody adds another book, sort of like the Aragon series, I'm always like, was that really necessary? Like, did you really need to split these, you know, into two different books in the case of that series or something else? But yeah, I don't know. I'm kind of interested. I actually don't really know anything about this series, but I've heard of Kira Cass before.
It's basically set in a dystopian society where it's kind of like The Bachelor with elements of the Game of Thrones.
That's interesting.
Yeah, like that's how they describe it. And it is like The Bachelor because basically they have to find the next queen and it's like a competition, like for the prince's hand. Like, no joke.
Okay, and I like dystopian books, so.
You would actually probably like it a lot.
Okay.
I could see that working for you, kid. So there are two new books, and I'm like glancing over the news releases so that I know what they're about. So I knew the first one, The Air and The Siren, I guess is the second one. I didn't know there was a second one. But from what I understand, they don't. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So I see what it is. So yeah. So it'll be interesting to see where that goes then. because that's not what I was thinking it was. There are two new. So there is a prequel called The Queen, and then there are two more novels after that that kind of follow up to where their story was. I got it now. Sorry, it took me a second to. I didn't realize there were two more after the one. Anyway, so it'll be interesting to see where that goes. Because I agree. I think it's odd that they've added things in after the fact. Like, that's always so frustrating. But we'll see. And we'll get Marima's reaction to that later, I guess. And so our next listener feedback comes from Quinn. And it says, on the topic of comics, have you ever read any web comics? Personally, I would recommend Minoma. It's the story of a girl who can shapeshift and her adventures as a sidekick of an evil villain, which I totally dig, by the way. A sidekick to an evil villain, yes. And it says it just ended and will be released as a book next year. I also really love Namesake. It has to do with fairy tales and is really pretty. And Ode, and it's on chapter 3 and is about two lady knights. So do you guys read any webcomics?
No, but those sound really good. All of them.
Especially the first one.
I know, the first one sounds awesome.
I like the one about the lady knights. That sounds cool.
Yes, it does.
Yeah, I read a couple in college as part of like a geek literature class I took. And they weren't that good. I mean, I still like check XKCD is like not really. It's technically classified as a webcomic, but it's different every day. It's not like you need to read them all to get what's going on. So I don't think that counts.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't read webcomics, but I would definitely be curious to check a couple out. I have to say, my students love webcomics. They read them all the time. So I do know lots of people who read them, and I've seen a couple, and some of the art is so cool. Like, it's interesting to see that medium, like, not on a page, but on the computer, so definitely something to check out. And if any of you other listeners read webcomics or anything like that, I'd be curious to hear what you think some of your favorites are, because I always like checking out what people mention. It's kind of fun. All right, Brittany or Karen, do you have anything else for this episode of Book Hype?
I don't think so.
I'm good.
Okay. So just as a reminder, we will be reading our next book of the month, which will be Jacoby by William Ritter. And that will be coming up shortly, probably around, in America, it's going to be Thanksgiving next week. So it'll be right around that time, just so we can get all of our reading done in time. Right, Karen?
Yes. because of all the new books I bought. I was like, what was that about? I just was a little slow on the uptake.
It's fine. So please make sure to check that out, because we will be discussing it in the upcoming weeks. And as always, if you guys have any questions, comments, or suggestions of books that you think we should be reading, definitely tweet at us and we will take that into consideration. So until next time, I'm Jen.
I'm Karen.
And I'm Brittany.
Goodbye, guys.
Bye.
Bye.